The kings of Macedonia. Alexander the Great. Alexander marches to Hyrcania. Alexander combined deeply pragmatic instincts with an even deeper belief that he was special, something his visit to Siwa strengthened. As personally superior to follow Macedonians and Greeks as he was to everyone else, many things could be justified as long as he wanted to do them. This meant that he did not revolt from mere thought of adopting some rituals and behavior of Asian traditions in the way that many of his companions did. A little later, Bessius proclaimed himself King of Kings and took the royal name of Artaxerxes, adopting the dress of an Achaemenid monarch, most notably the upright tiara. In response, Alexander modified his own dress, adopting a two-colored diadem, which went around the head unlike the Persian crown, but was still not Macedonian. Trousers were one of the most blatant marks of a barbarian, and he remained bare-legged like a civilized man. But he did take the white and purple sleeved tunic, which was more Median than Persian. He kept a traditional Macedonian cloak and hat, the latter with a purple royal band around it. The experiment with this new style began merely for private meetings with Persians and other locals, before he was sufficiently encouraged to ride abroad in plain view. Senior companions were given red tunics, like the ones senior advisors at the Persian court, and were encouraged to use Asiatic saddle clothes and ornaments on their horses. As the advance continued, more Persian noblemen capitulated, and they became ever more prominent at the court. Macedonians and Greeks were never displaced or sidelined and remained the overwhelming majority, but the prominence given to the recently defeated barbarians was resented in the competitive culture of the court. Over time, the king acquired more and more of the trappings of the Eastern kingship, including a harem with one concubine for each night of the year. This was not simply appropriate for a king in the East, but traditionally was a useful bond with the nobility throughout the empire, because the women came from aristocratic families, for whom it was a source of considerable prestige. Alexander was changing as he tried to consolidate control over all the conquered lands. There was no sign that he wished to oversee this consolidation in a period of peace and calm, and like Philip, he appears always to be thinking of the next war and the next victory. He was Lord of Asia by conquest, heroic, victorious leader of the Macedonians and Greeks, and to confirm his status, he needed more glory. In the short term, there was the threat posed by Bessius, whose bid for power could not be permitted to gain momentum. Posing as Darius's avenger as well as the great conqueror, Alexander led his army into the province of Hyrcania. Narbazes, one of the noblemen who had murdered Darius, opened negotiations to submit and hand over the capital of the province. This was eventually agreed to, and he was soon followed by the satrap of Hyrcania, who in due course was reappointed as Alexander rather than Darius's representative. In contrast, Alexander does not appear to have trusted Narbazes, and when he returned to the region without authority, he was arrested and probably executed. There's very little fighting in Hyrcania. A welcome addition to the court came with Artabazus, father of Alexander's mistress, Barcine, arrived bringing his sons, the 1,500 remaining Greek mercenaries who had stayed loyal to Darius, only leaving his side after his arrest, attempted to negotiate. Alexander demanded unconditional surrender and got it, for they had little choice, and were relieved when they discovered that the harshness shown at Granicus was not to be revived. Men who had taken service with Persia before the great alliance of the Greeks at Corinth were allowed to go free. The remainder joined his army at their existing rate of pay. With the mercenaries were some envoys, including Spartans sent by Aegeus, and some of these were arrested for a time. Alexander led a brief campaign against a hill tribe called the Mardi. The coincidence of the name with the group fought earlier hundreds of miles away caused some confusion in our sources. They could do little more than harass the Macedonians, and the most memorable incident occurred when Bucephalus was among some horses stolen from the grooms watching them. Alexander threatened to ravage the tribe's land, kill all the men, and enslave the women and children if the horse was not returned. His anger was as obvious as the might of his army, so the tribal leader swiftly handed over the horse and made full submission. After Hyrcania, the Macedonians went to Aria, where the satrap Sadabarzines was another of the regicides. He handed over the region and was confirmed in his office. He was the first to report that Bessius had declared himself king, spurring Alexander to press on to Bactria, as well as prompting changes in style noted earlier. Once the army had left, Satabarzin massacred the officer and 40 cavalrymen Alexander had left to support him and began raising the province in rebellion around the capital at Artakona, modern Herat, in Afghanistan. News of this treachery on the part of the defector changed Alexander's plans. Forming a flying column from the usual units, he left Craterus with the rest and covered some 75 miles in 2 days to reach Artakona. The speed and strength of the response terrified Satabarzin, who abandoned his own men and fled with a small escort, joining Bessius soon after. Some of the men he had left behind fought, one group fortifying themselves in a wooded crag, prompting Alexander to set the trees on fire and burn or asphyxiate them all. Otherwise, there were few reprisals and executions against those still in arms, but most surrendered, and in spite of this rebellion, another Persian was made into a satrap. Now, what's going to take place next is there's going to be news of a plot to kill Alexander. Now, the sources for this, The Politics by Aristotle, The Histories by Herodotus, Histories, 12 volumes, by Diodorus Siculus, Peloponnesian War by Thucydides, and The Lives by Plutarch, Philip and Alexander, Kings and Conquerors by Goldsworthy, History of Macedonia, Volume 1 and Volume 2 by Hammond, In the Shadow of Olympus, The Emergence of Macedonia by Borgia. Some additional sources for the sections on Alexander rules would include, of course, Arians, The Campaigns of Alexander, In the Footsteps of Alexander the Great by Michael Wood, The Wars of Alexander the Great by Haeckel, and The Story of Alexander's Empire by Mahaffey. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.